Well, this morning we are going to jump into the Word of God, and we are right in the middle, heading towards the end of our John series. Now, I want to be honest with you. When we started talking out of the book of John, it was not some master plan. We just have kept going. And every time I get before the Bible, it's like, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. We've been doing Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings. And we have three more portions of scripture here out of John chapter 21. And just want to be sure you know how it's going to go. Today, the first 14 verses. Then we're going to hear Jesus and Peter talk next week. Altar of Revival, about feeding his sheep, about taking care of his lambs. This moment, a special moment with Peter. And actually this Wednesday night, we're going to be looking at the last portion of Jesus and the beloved apostle of John and this moment. And so I want to encourage you, if you're able to come out on Wednesday night for midweek, it's going to be a great time. We worship, we get in the Word, and then we spend time in prayer and going after the Lord. And so I want to invite you to come on out, but we're going to be finishing up the book of John here in the next two Sundays, including today. And it is going to be, personally, I think it's going to be great, as I've been so much enjoying studying and getting into what the Lord has. As we begin this portion and we begin the Word, we're just going to read the Word of God. You can follow along on the screen. John chapter 21 in the first 14 verses. It says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. But as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them. And so with the fish, this was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When we read this and we think just prior, Jesus had given his life. Just prior, he came back to life. Just prior, this miracle of all miracles had taken place. That means so much to you and I today. 2,000 years later, the resurrection of Jesus, and this moment right before he goes to the Father, before the ascension, before he took his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. But he continues to reveal himself to the disciples, to his followers, to the people. The risen Christ. And so often it was amazing. I just can't even imagine trying to put myself in these moments. The glorified, the resurrected Jesus who just walked through walls and showed up. The resurrected Jesus who they kept not even like recognizing him. Like this is Jesus and the wise and of that. I do not know, but he keeps on doing it, including when he showed up to Mary Magdalene and he spoke her name. And all of a sudden, she recognized. When he walked into the room in John 20, 22 before the disciples and even let Thomas touch his hands and his side to show it is me, it is I. Jesus showed up to them. He was revealing himself. And my prayer today is that what we learn will help us be people who step into the revelation that God wants to show you. In fact, how many times is it possible that God is showing himself, he's revealing himself, and we're so busy, life's so crazy, that we just straight up miss what he's doing? We miss him and we don't give him the time to see what he is and what he's doing and how he is moving. I think we can learn some things this morning that can really transform us and help us be where God would have us be. First thing I want us to look at here is that we need to live where Jesus's call resides. And when you think about this story and you think about the disciples, they had just been with Jesus. They had followed him for 3.5 years. They were called to be fishers of men. He dies. He comes back to life. He reveals himself. And then they decide, hey, we're going to go fish. We're going to go do what we did before. Now, we could look at this in multiple ways. They were just smart. Jesus showed up to them before while they were fishing. So we're just going to go fish and he'll show up to us again. I don't know if that is what I would say. It's possible, maybe likely, that they were just in a place of we do not know what to do, and they went back to what was normal to them. They were fishermen. That's what they were. It's possible that they just decided, hey, we're going to do what we know how to do, and we can catch some food for our families or for ourselves in the process. That sounds like a pretty good idea. What we see above anything, and we don't know their heart, we don't know the full understanding, but we know that they went to fish, not for men anymore, like Jesus had called, but went to fish, for food, and it says that they caught nothing. All night long, and they caught nothing. And that word speaks something pretty clearly to me. I see Tony out there, some others that you fish. If you fish all night long and you catch nothing, that is not a good night. Now, maybe being alone can be good and we can think and there's some good things, but that's not a good fishing night if we don't catch anything. And now that it's morning in their day, you fished at night because that's when you caught the fish. To be here in this moment, it had to be somewhat of frustrating. It had to be something that's like, well, this did not go how we wanted it to go. And I wonder how often in our lives when we think about what God has called us to do and where he would call us to be, are we living in the place where he has placed us? Are we living from the calling that he's given us? Are we living as what he's done for us and who he is? Or are we just going back to what we know? And we know how to fish. We know how to make money. We know how to provide for our family. So we're just going to do these things and we're going to do what we know how to do. So all of a sudden, we really aren't accomplishing what we would want to accomplish in our life. And sometimes I think we get like them where if we're honest, we'd say, I might have things and I might have a boat and I might be fishing, but what have I done or what have I caught? And it feels empty. It feels like there's a nothing. Because maybe we're not doing it as the Lord would call. Maybe that's the place that they were in. And when you look through the book of John, and you could look in John chapter 15, and talks about the branches and the vine and who Jesus is and being connected to him. In fact, in John 15, 5, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Is it possible that these disciples went out back to what they came from and they experienced the nothing of apart from me, you can do nothing because they weren't doing what God had called them to do? Is it possible that they were in a place of confusion of we don't know what's next? In fact, Peter could say, I just denied Jesus. And yes, he showed up, but am I still allowed to be a part of what he's doing, or am I on the outside of that? Next week, we're going to see a really cool portion of scripture. But is it possible? Well, let's go fishing, guys, because we at least know how to do that. And the nothing feeling of, well, paid for food again, which is good. Paid for my car again, which is good. But did my life mean what I feel it should mean? Did my life mean what the call was? And I want someone to hear today that even if maybe like these disciples, you feel like you're in a spot of going back, that we read Jesus came and found them. We saw that Jesus came and showed up to them. Jesus came and presented himself. And there's somebody in the room that needs to hear today, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus, you cannot accomplish. You cannot feel fulfilled. You cannot be what God has called you to be. But Jesus is coming for you. Jesus is chasing you down. In fact, I believe you are here today because you know there's more than just life and just what culture or society or what the world would say. There's more than even, Neha, what a word, there's more than even just medication or there's more than fear and anxiety. There's more for you than these things that we can get in and we can be concerned and have all of these problems. God has more for you. I'm so thankful for it. And when we continue on here, we see that Jesus shows up to them. And when we are in a moment, we need a revelation. We need to put ourselves in a place where we're willing to listen and where the call resides. And when we need to be listening and recognizing the presence of Jesus. Just this morning, I mentioned a few minutes ago, the first service, it was awesome. God moved. There was a word. This service already, we've experienced God. I just feel that he's here and he wants to do something special. I feel it. And when you get in a place where, Lord, I just want to know, all of a sudden you realize he's here. Now, real fast, just some theology. He's always here. He's everywhere at every moment. So when we say a churchy thing like God is here, that means we, for some reason, are experiencing him, are feeling him, are seeing him in a different way. He's with you every moment of every day. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. It's not like he shows up and then disappears. But we do a really good job of disappearing. We do a really good job of just wanting to do our own thing. And when we get in a place where we begin to recognize the presence of Jesus, something starts to change. And here in verse 4, it says that he showed up, stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And he asked them, it looks like a story from the past in the Word of God, children, do you have any fish? And I think he was looking for the answer that he got, which is they said, no. Easy, an easy word. We do not have any. And he tells them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And this word right, it doesn't mean like the left side of the boat and the right side of the boat. That would not be a technical term. And it definitely does not mean that here. It literally means wrong and right side. It literally would be the basically telling them, you're throwing your nets on the wrong side. So why don't you try throwing on the correct side and just watch what would happen? And sometimes we want to keep throwing our net. We want to keep doing our thing. We want to keep doing it in our way, in our understanding. But when Jesus shows up, he says, do it on the other side. Cast it on the right side. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. When we go from doing it our way and our understanding and letting the word maybe sometimes or letting a pastor or leader or group leader give something every once in a while. When we go from a place of that to a place of, Lord, I need what you have. I don't want to put my net in the wrong place. I don't want to put my effort and work in the wrong place, but I want to experience your goodness and your presence and your revelation in my life so I can do what you've called me to do. Then everything begins to look different. In fact, I think we could say today that the presence of Jesus does a couple of things in our life. And the first, it will change our current strategy. When you get in the presence of Jesus, church, you don't say, I think I'm just going to keep doing my own thing. I mean, if you do, then you're just disobedient to the Lord, and we can do that. But when you meet with Jesus, you start to say, I'm going to do it his way. I'm not going to parent in my strength anymore because I've realized I stink at parenting. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you've got me, right? Maybe there's some people in the room that need to say, you know what? I've tried this spouse thing. I've tried being a husband or a wife, and it is not going how I would want it. You know what? Probably you're throwing the net on the wrong side of the boat, and Jesus is saying, just do it like this. Just start serving your spouse. Don't look what you're going to get, but look what you can give and pour into them. And watch Jesus, the perspective, change your life. And all of a sudden you say, you know what? This marriage thing is a lot more fun and a lot easier, even though I'm now looking to serve instead of looking to be served. But now it's fun and exciting. And almost always, just a little hint, when you start to serve your spouse, guess what? They want to serve you a little bit more too. And all of a sudden, what you actually wanted in the beginning, when you do it God's way, begins to happen. Because God knows more than we do. He's smarter than us. Whatever the thing is in your job, in your relationships, in your finances, in your entertainment, when I start to say, Lord, I've been doing it wrong, but Lord, you're calling me to do it right, then everything begins to look different. And I just want to say, sometimes we might say, I don't know what to do. This word right here, so often, in fact, I would say almost always, the principles of the word will answer the questions that you have. And we want God to come and give us a loud, audible voice. And he's like, I've already done it. Just read the word. What does the word say? And not some of the word, but what does this word say? Read it, study it, grow in it, learn what he speaks. And all of a sudden, I start to throw on the wrong side and get nothing way less often. And I start to throw on the right side. And I start to experience the blessing of God. And I start to say, life is way more fun. There's way less fear. There's way less anxiety or worry. There's way less of these things when I'm no longer in control. And I'm like, Lord, I don't need to do it my way anymore. My way's not working anyways. I'm going to do it your way because you're God, you're creator, you're Lord, you're Savior. They threw it on the right side. The presence of Jesus will dramatically change your effort. If you noticed before, they were throwing the nets in and they must have been pulling them back and then throwing them in. That was it. But all of a sudden, when Jesus shows up, they had to start really working because all of a sudden, 153 large fish are in their nets and they can't even pull them in the boat because what I read said it probably would have sunk the boat. So they literally had to pull them, get them to shore before they could do anything. When the power of God shows up, all of a sudden you start working. But you know what is fun? It's fun when you start working and all of a sudden there's 153 large fish in the net. That might be the hardest work they had all night, but I guarantee you that was way more enjoyable than throwing the empty net into the water and pulling the empty net out of the water and throwing the empty net into the water and doing it over. That's no fun. That's wasted effort. But when we do it God's way, we start to work for him and pour the goodness of God out on the people around us, and it starts to be fun. And I think some people in the room today need to hear, life's allowed to be fun. And you can walk in the joy and the fun of the Lord when you walk in the power of who he is and start throwing the net on the right side of the boat. And you let his word guide your heart. The effort and results will change. Third is the presence of Jesus will transform your understanding. John says, the one that Jesus loved said, Peter, it's the Lord. And all of a sudden, if you can imagine them, they probably were annoyed to high heavens. They were upset. Who's this guy? We've been fishing all night long. He's going to tell me to put my nets on the other side of the boat. But when I start to realize, oh, that's not something or someone or even just a saying from the Bible, but that is Jesus. He's speaking to me. He's showing me. He's giving wisdom. He's giving direction. He's giving the future of what I should do and where I should go and how to do it. All of a sudden, I'm going to have a little bit of a transforming of understanding. And just like Peter, the fourth thing is that the presence of Jesus is going to cause you to get out of the boat. Peter says, I got to tie myself up because I'm going to jump in and I'm going to get to Jesus as fast as I possibly can. If I want to experience a revelation from Jesus, I need to be in a place where Jesus can show up. I need his presence in my life that transforms me and changes my strategy, changes my effort, that changes my understanding and gets me out of what is easy or what's normal and gets me to a place where, Lord, I'm going to go after you no matter what would happen, no matter what it seems like. And it said about 100 yards out, close to the shore. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to swim 100 yards. Peter was a strong dude. I think he had no issue. But he said, I don't care how far it is. I'm going to swim across Ohio Stadium to Jesus. If Jesus is there, I'm swimming too. If Jesus is there, I'm walking the tightrope rope across if I have to. Whatever it is, Lord, I'm going to get to you. The presence of Jesus is worth it. And we've got to get out of what is normal. Or else we're not going to experience what he has for us. He's so good. You know what? As we head towards home today on this message, I absolutely love the last few verses. I love it. In verse 9, it says, when they got out on land, they saw charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. And just real fast, if you go back, the last time charcoal is mentioned in the Bible, Peter is around a charcoal specifically. I think this is Jesus. He's around a charcoal fire with a servant girl, and he's denying Jesus. And this time, this moment, and what's going to come next week in our sermon series here, Peter is around a charcoal fire with Jesus, and he's going to have an opportunity to say yes or no, or yeah, are you with me? He's going to be asked, will you serve, or will you feed my sheep? And Peter's going to respond and respond and respond. In fact, he's going to respond three times. I'm just giving you next week's message. He has the opportunity to deny and the opportunity. And you know what? Sometimes Jesus brings us back to moments in our lives, to situations where it was difficult and maybe we responded incorrectly, to give us the opportunity to say, Lord, I might have messed it up back there, but not today. I might have messed it up last year or 3 years or 30 years ago, but today I see Jesus. And when I see you, I'm going to go where you have me to go. And I'm not going to be a denier anymore, but I'm going to be the one that this church, I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to be the one that can be built on. Jesus, you've done it. And I'm going to further it and keep it going. And he just had denied him at a charcoal fire. But Jesus brings him back. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. And when I, just feeling this out, I love at our house, we have a fire pit in our back right by our house. And we have 8 chairs around that fire pit, which is basically the number that they have here. And I could just imagine Jesus sitting around the charcoal fire, cooking up food for his disciples. I could just imagine him saying, you may have all just bailed on me a couple weeks ago, but not anymore. You see me glorified. You see who I am. In fact, it said they wouldn't even ask who he is because they knew who he was. There was something about this moment that was powerful, that God was showing up. God was moving. He was being glorified. And they needed to sit with Jesus. And I think somebody here needs to hear that you might need, and I love church, and I experience God in charge moments like church and camps and conventions. I love them because there's just something special. But you know what else I need with everything in me? You know what you need? You need to sit around a fire with Jesus. You need to sit around the fire and talk to him. You need to sit around the fire and let the word of God become real to you. And not because a pastor or a leader, maybe a good one, that speaking the truth would say it, but because you and Jesus get together and all of a sudden you start to read and you start to look at his word and you start to say, wow, God, you're moving here. Look what you did in Peter's life. Look at these 153 fish. Look at how the power of God now is being poured out in a new way. And you need to get alone with Jesus. Maybe you need to get a person or two or three or four. If you're at my house, we could get 6 in us and we can sit and say, hey, look at what the word of God is saying. You need to sit around the fire and talk with your friends about Jesus. You need to sit around the fire, just you and him. Let him move in your life. And I think there's some people here today that the thought of you and Jesus sitting together is terrifying. Maybe because of what has happened in your life. Maybe because of what has been done in your life. Maybe because of what you've done and you feel like you're not good enough. You feel like this is all for somebody else, but it can't be for you. And I want you to know today that God wants to sit with you. He may want to sit with the person on your left and right too, because he died for them too. But this word is for you, every one of you in this room. He loves you. He has the best for you. He wants to sit with you. He wants to pour his presence out in your life. He wants to give you the calling that he has, and he wants to see that fan into flame and those gifts be used. He wants to do that with you. And when we talk about prayer teams coming forward, are we talking about believing for the power of God? Church, he wants you to experience God and you to share the love of God. He wants you to go be fishers, not of fish and of the stuff we need and of the clothes for our life and the things that we need and we all need to have just to survive. He'll bless with those things, but he's calling you to be fishers of men, just like he called these disciples 3.5 years before this. And once again, he reaffirms this call in their lives. he told them to throw the nets onto the right side. But he's basically telling them that once again, seek and you will find. Throw the nets, seek me. And he's calling them again to seek not fish, the nothing of life, but to seek every person that you can possibly share the message of the gospel with, proclaim the goodness of the gospel with, and then watch as his call in your life brings healing and wholeness and salvation and freedom. And you might already have the salvation, but you know what? When you're walking in him, some of that healing and wholeness all of a sudden begins to happen in your life because you start to believe, you start to experience. And it's not about waiting till you get somewhere, waiting till you're good enough. These guys literally just denied Jesus. They literally just bailed on him when Jesus needed them most. He calls you. He calls you into relationship. He calls you into love. He calls you the power of God. He wants to use you. But we have to sit around the fire with Jesus. Even the portion in here that says, now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Just before, I don't think they quite understood, but this is the moment where all of a sudden, I don't have to ask anymore. I don't have to guess anymore. I'm not sure. No, they knew that Jesus was on the throne. They knew that his power was moving. They knew. And they said, we get to sit around the fire with Jesus. And they committed themselves to the power of God. I kind of feel like one last big moment. Lord, whatever you want to do. You want us to go in Acts chapter 2? You want us to sit in Jerusalem for 10 days? Or he didn't tell them 10, but that's how long it was. We'll go do it. You want us to share the goodness of God? We'll go do it. Peter, you denied before. You want me to preach? Hey, just a few more chapters. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. His life is transformed with the message of the gospel because they got it. They didn't have to ask him anymore. And I think somebody today needs to hear that Jesus wants to fellowship with you. With you. He wants to sit with you. He wants to talk to you. Jesus, he wants you to experience his revelation. And it might happen in a church environment sometimes. Normally about once a week, I hope. Let's come experience him. But he wants to meet with you on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And he wants to meet with you on Thursday when something didn't go like it was supposed to go. And he wants to sit with you. You could talk with him. And you could share, Lord, I don't understand why this happened. And guess what? That's not going to hurt his feelings. You could talk with him. And then you can praise him and worship him when something doesn't go how you thought it was and he did something way better. Lord, thank you. Help me to trust you. Lord, I need to sit with you. I need a revelation from you, a revelation from your word. And before we would close today, I just want to be sure that we're all on the same page. We may hear God speak in some audible voice, and that would be pretty cool. We may probably more often just feel him speak in our spirit. Just we know what to do. We know where to go. But you can never say that he's not speaking because his word, he's speaking to you every single day. And if you don't know what to do, I say again, this word of God will transform your life. In fact, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, if you put the principles of the word of God to work in your life will get better. And you'll be like, I want that. I need Jesus. I need the one that did this, that gave us his words. And if you're here today and you're trying to do it yourself, I didn't hear some audible voice. He's already given you a commission. Go make disciples of all nations. You've already been told what to do. He told you to do greater things than even he did. What? Lord, I don't know how that's possible. But Lord, I'm going to look and listen. He's told you through his word that tomorrow at work, it's not about getting some money so you can pay for your house. Work is because God's put you in a place to be his hands and feet. Be the pastor of where you are. And I don't care if you're the lowest level of that company or the highest. You're called to pastor. You're called to lead. You're called to take the goodness of God and to pour it out. And it may be one little comment or one little word, or it might start just you can pray at your desk like, Lord, I don't even know what to do. But you start praying and believing, and all of a sudden the power of God shows up and he calls you to repentance, maybe personally. And he calls you to pray for repentance for those who need it. He calls you to healing and wholeness. He calls you to get fear out of your life because you don't need it because he's everything. He calls you to get bold and to start praying Lord, you put someone that needs prayer in front of me. I'm going to pray. But Lord, I think it's our right to ask. Lord, if we pray, would you mind healing them? That would be really cool. You know what? You today are eligible to pray a prayer of faith and to watch someone's life transformed because God heals their body and they understand this is not some joke or some book or just something. This is the power of God. He loves you, church. He wants to use you. And nobody in this room is outside of the ability to say, Lord, I want to be where your call is. Lord, I want to experience your presence. And Lord, I am looking forward just to sitting around with you so that your revelation can show up in my life, so the people around me, in my home, in my community, in my job, in my school, wherever you go, wherever you do for fun, looks different. Because I'm not throwing my nets on the left side, the wrong side. I'm throwing my nets on the right side. Just watch what he does. Today, if we could all stand right where we are all over this room, I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. That God will move, that God will show up, that God will be glorified in your life, and that you will sit with him. That you let his power run all over you. There's nothing better. So Lord, right now I pray that every person in this room would experience you. Lord, that in this moment today that they would have realized, Lord, I got to sit with you. I got to hear from you. But Lord, I pray that nobody will wait until next Sunday morning to meet with you again. But Lord, this afternoon and this evening and tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon and every day and every moment, Lord, that you're there. And Lord, that we would put time away to sit with you and study your word. Lord, we put time away to get in a group and hang out with somebody, Lord, that can help us and open up the word to us, that we can talk. And Lord, then that I'll even go beyond that and have people to my house and just sit around the table and talk about the word. And we can ask questions about the word. Lord, that we would sit with you. Because we do, Lord, our lives would be transformed. We'd experience your power like never before, your presence like never before, your goodness like never before. And Lord, for maybe somebody today that feels like the call is not for them or it's passed them by, Lord, I pray that we would see that just like the disciples, even if we're not maybe right where we should be, Lord, that you come and you keep calling and you keep knocking. And today is a great day to say yes to you, to your revelation, to your presence, to your call into life. Today is a great day to say that at the very least, this commission that is found in the Word of God, I'm going to go and make disciples. And Lord, give me the wisdom. Lord, do your work in this church, in these people. Lord, we want to hear more testimonies of people healed and set free and delivered. And Lord, at the beginning, Lord, we want to hear testimonies of salvation over and over and over and over again. God, we ask you for it. We need you. We need you, God. We need a revelation personally of what your word is saying to us. We need a revelation. Lord, let us be in your presence. Let our strategy look different. Our effort look different. Our understanding be different. Lord, let us get out of the boat. Get out of what is normal as we follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. As we just keep our maybe heads bowed and eyes closed, and it's not some religious thing, it's just focus on Jesus. Right now, if you're here and you say, you know what, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never made him the Lord of my life. And you say, I need Jesus. I want my sins gone, and I want to be a part of the family. I'm going to ask you real bold, just right where you are, just to raise your hand, and I want to catch your eye, and we're going to pray together as a group today. If that's you right now, would you raise your hand high, just till I see it, so I can confirm it, and then we're going to pray. Anybody in this room today that wants to join the four from the first service? Anybody in this room? Anybody in this room? If you want to say yes to Jesus, I'm going to come back through. I don't see any hands yet. Anybody in the room today that you say yes to Jesus? Come on. If I missed you, all you have to do is ask the Lord, forgive me of my sins, make me new. I give you control of my life. He welcomes you in your own words. He just wants to talk with you and love you, pour his goodness out upon your life. So, Lord, as we close this time, we are thankful for who you are, for your goodness. Lord, you are so, so, so good. Lord, thankful that you chase us down, that you come to the shore, that you invite us to eat with you, to sit with you. And, Lord, never let the presence of God not transform who we are. Lord, let us look different because of who you are. Let us act different. And Lord, I pray this week that we would go in your power. You're so good. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Church, God is good. If you are new with us, maybe you even just want to know more about Jesus. We're going to have what we have once a month party with the pastors on the other side of that wall in the glass room. And if you've never been to one, we want to invite you to come meet us. Pastor Rachel and I and the team, we would love to say hi, just let you know a little bit about Radiant Life, and we'd love to get to know a little bit about you. So be sure, if you're new with us, come visit us, stop by the glass room. And for everybody else, have an amazing day, an amazing week. Let's take the goodness of God and share with somebody what he's doing in our lives today. God has moved, he's healed, he's restored, he's brought people into the family. There's nothing better than that. So this week, Radiant Life, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. See you again next week.